Hey there, you cantankerous balls of shit. Me and Chauncey are here to tell you about the new Deep Fat Fried meetup in New Orleans on September 6th. Right, Chauncey? That's right. And it's going to be September 6th. If you get a VIP ticket, you get free booze. And you also get free, just free booze. And you get to come in an hour early and hang out with us before the big stage spectacle. And after the big stage spectacle, we'll hang out with everybody, so don't worry. And, you know, you can take pictures and you can fucking, whatever the hell else happens. You can talk to us and shit. I don't know. I'll be drunk, you know, is that unusual? I don't know. Is it? Who knows? Who fucking even knows anymore? I don't know. Anyway, that's going to happen. And also, support us on Patreon by becoming a patron. And you get stuff. You get more videos than the non-patron people do. And they're good stuff, too. It's like, you know, good things. I don't know. Right? Yeah. So there you go. And, from me and Chauncey, you know, we love you. And that's it. Become a patron and come to our meetup. And, get drunk with us. Drunk.
Welcome to Deep Fat Fried. Ooh. Here in a new studio for Ooh. The first time ever. This is a temporary studio setup. I don't want to get too much into it, but we got about four times as much space here now that we had before, so we're going to be doing some new interesting stuff with this, but this is kind of a temporary version of that. And so you'll be seeing some big changes coming to the show. We got some new equipment coming in thanks to the support of our patrons. If you're not a patron, please consider it because we do... use it to upgrade the show. We got a bunch of huge, huge upgrades coming your way.
Oh my God, you guys are going to be blown away.
Blown the
Especially
fuck away.
Those of you that are big fans of Dank D&D. I don't want to tease too much because we still are kind of a little ways off, but I got to mention it. You Dank D&D fans are going to be fucking crazed when you see the shit that we've got for you.
You're going to be fucking insane. With fucking insanity.
General upgrades all across the board in the pike.
Yeah,
new studio. Things are fresh, dude.
Oh,
things feel fresh for the show.
Oh, it's gonna be sexy. I'm gonna cut myself. I'm gonna cut myself because it sounds so good. Ah! Yes, yes. I think I need to go to the hospital, guys.
Oh shit.
Okay,
dude.
Well, just go then. All you right. Fucking idiot.
No
Sorry.
Self-harm is allowed on YouTube, TJ.
You dumb fuck. What do you think we're gonna drive you?
It's not real. It's not real. I didn't do it. I didn't do it for real. It's fake.
You know what, TJ?
Don't ban me, YouTube.
You need to put a trigger warning in there, dude.
Trigger warning, y'all.
Trigger warning. Self-harm.
Trigger warning. I just did a self-harm.
TJ, there's
Oops.
That's not a joke, TJ.
It's not the rules.
It's not a fucking joke, buddy.
Is it okay to harm others?
No.
What?
Oh, okay. What? I mean, asking the rules.
Consensually, yes. It's fine.
TJ, but I mean, it's not right on YouTube.
Go read the rules of YouTube, TJ. They're all very clear. Clear as day.
I don't know.
No ambiguity.
I'm pretty sure on YouTube it's expressly obvious that you're not supposed to hurt people. So you might have fucked up big time with this little tirade of yours.
Oops, I did it again.
This all might right. We might have to blur you.
Is that right?
Blur you, dude.
So is all self-harm wrong or just like cutting?
All self-harm.
So like if I wrapped this cord around my neck and like started just like
TJ, you're
getting. Is that okay?
You're
to
getting
do?
Again, TJ, triggering people.
Is that all right to do?
He's triggering some people, and he's wildly turning on some people at the same time. That's the fucked up thing about humanity.
Yeah, good old humanity. Don't
there
you
are some
love
people
it?
Out there that have dreamed of the day.
TJ. Oh my God, it finally happened!
TJ's gonna fucking.
Well, TJ, you have a large enough fan base that someone's probably had a dream that you banged them, dude.
Oh, you think you think that's gonna
have
happen?
You ever been told that someone had a dream about you where you banged them?
Yep.
Really? Okay. Because I, you know, what I always hear about is Marilyn Manson. I always hear like, you know, like I would like talk to people online. Like, you know what? I'm not gay or nothing, dude. But like, I'd fuck Marilyn Manson.
Even like in these, even in my has been
like,
days.
Okay.
I still get people writing me like, dude, you are the new George Carlin. You are the new Marilyn Manson. All the people that you idolize, I idolize you to the same degree.
I don't mean to be salty about it, but why doesn't anybody compare me to anybody cool? I always get like, you're Gwildor.
Damn, dude, that sucks.
Maybe you're just inimitable, Paul. Maybe there's not.
Cool.
Maybe there's just, you're just, you're not the next anything. You're
well,
just the
thanks
first
for helping me
Paul's
find a
ego.
Positive spin on the horrible truth of my life.
There you go.
That's
you
know? Awesome.
But you know what? There has been a lot of characters that have looked like you, Paul. Like, Paul
aesthetically,
of War.
There's lots of Pauls. But I don't know if performance-wise, there's a shit ton of Pauls
out
there.
Oh, dude, no. I'm Kratos from the new God of War.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. That's a pretty good one.
I'm
right
every
there.
Dude that ever has a beard. I'm John Goodman. I'm, well, who else do I get? I'm Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah, you're definitely Dr.
Robotnik. I mean, that Eggman. I have to say it's
more than Jim Carrey, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, when he's done up, like, I've seen Jim Carrey in the, I guess, after Robotnik becomes Robotnik form, and he looks way better. Have you seen that?
No.
Mm-mm.
You should look at that.
Okay.
Tell me what you think about it.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to dive now? I'll do it.
I
now.
Mean, you can if you want. Yeah, it's I the mean, banter. It's the banter part of the episode.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see if like once he goes full Robotnik or what do you call him, Eggman? You said
Eggman. Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Eggman.
Man, fuck that. He's Robotnik to me.
He's always going to be Robotnik to me. But I mention it because I just the ocean of people in the comments.
Actually, his canon name is Eggman. It was changed for the U.S. market. I'm
which,
like, well,
I'm
what,
in
whatever.
The fucking U.S.
yeah,
market. You
I'm
son
the
of
U.S.
bitch.
Market. So to me, it's fucking Dr. Robotnik, and you can suck my dick.
So yeah, that's him at the end of the
all right, so yeah, scroll trailer, through some of these, because there's some better frames of this that look a little more Robotnik-like, when you can see his full stash. See that? Like the only thing, my only criticism of it is
he's a scrawny little man.
Yeah, he's not fat.
He's fat, dude.
Yeah, where's the part where he gets fat? I mean, look at this, you know?
Like, look at Robotnik. Robotnik is a big old fucking fat chode of a man.
Fuck yeah, he is,
and
dude.
Jim Carrey didn't look anything like him. Like, now, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I think that Hollywood missed a fucking huge opportunity to cast a guy. Like, if you put one of, like, tricked out my mustache a little bit and shaved me up, put the goggles on my ass, let my double chin kind of swing.
Yeah.
Put me in a skin-tight red suit in the ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, driving around the... Dude, I'd fucking kill his Robotnik.
I think you could do it, Paul. What voice would you use? Or you
I don't know. I'd have to work on it because, you know...
Yeah, that's a...
What's your first,
I know there was a cartoon, but I never watched it.
Robotnik had a badass voice in one of the cartoons.
Yeah, see, I knew that... I never watched the cartoons. I only played the games. And in the games that I played, Robotnik never spoke. He was just like...
Let me find a clip really quick of that before we get into our actual subject matter.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get this tape that I put on my fingers off because I'm
tape finger. It's a rape finger.
Here, get this tape away from me.
What is wrong with you?
I can't handle
TJ.
The responsibility.
If you put anything that he can play with within
true.
You know, reach of TJ, he's going to do it.
It's very true.
Dude, the Sonic games were those games I always played but never got past me to the third or fourth stage.
Oh, I got Sonic games. That.
Yeah, except well, I was like fucking.
Oh, you were you were like a kid.
Oh, yeah,
I was like 6 or something.
Yeah, how long has it been since you actually played a Sonic game? It's been like 20 years or something.
No, I played. I got like a Steam download. I mean, maybe a couple years ago.
Okay,
I wasn't any good.
Dude, I'm still pretty decent. I think. I mean, it's been a few years, probably like 8 or 9 years, but I think I'd be pretty decent at Sonic 1 and 2 and Sonic CD because I played so much of those fucking games.
All right.
Games. Like, I literally lived on those games when I was a kid. Every time I've picked them up in recent memory, it's been okay. So I think I could do okay. I think I could beat those games.
All right, so this is I'm going to play a little bit of this Dr. Robotnik, because he actually had a pretty cool voice on this show.
All right, let me hear
show.
This shit.
This was, I think this was called Sonic Sat AM or some retarded
game. I've never even fucking heard of it.
But they had a pretty cool Robotnik voice.
It's showtime.
Good morning, Dr. Robotnik. Exciting trip.
Shut up, Snivelling. Before this day is done, you and the power rings will be right in the palm of my hand.
See, this like dark, like deep, grumbly shit, I can only approach that shit. I can't really do like a full voice performance of that kind of like...
Well, I mean, you don't have to go all the way with that, but you
could... When the power rings are assembled, you will be mine.
Oh, that sounds great.
Does it?
Yeah, just go with that. You got it. You nailed it right out of the gate.
Sonic the Hedgehog, damn you.
I love it, man. Fuck.
Was this the first one where Sonic was obsessed with chili dogs?
No, this was actually on at the same time as the other one.
I know you've defeated me in
this
the past.
This was more like serious, quote unquote, interpretation.
Yeah,
or whatever.
That was a way better Sonic series. The first one, which is like, I like chili dogs. I'm Sonic. That was not that great.
My new Mark 15 battle robot is undefeatable by the likes of you, pitiful hedgehog. Your speed will not avail you. You will never see coming the rocket fists of Mark 15. Whoop! Ah! Sonic, you've done it again! I must run! Retreat to my lair to build yet another Mark 15 robot.
Remind me to get you another shock mount, Paul, because...
yeah, mine is fucked. It got ganked. Yeah, it's okay. It'll work. It's right. Keeping my shit suspended, so... It kind of just bobs like a wiener, and you know what I mean? It's like very bobby.
Sorry if it's turning you on or anything.
Now it kind of is.
All right, well, let's get into the subject of the day.
Okay.
Well, we actually have two subjects, but we're going to start by talking about feeders. Fetas.
Feeders?
Say,
fetas.
What is a feta, TJ?
Feederism is a sexual fetish.
Oh, my goodness.
In the same wheelhouse as the chubby chaser, you know?
Ooh. The chubby chaser?
Yeah, you know the chubby chaser. Like, you know, dudes or women who prefer their partners.
On the chunky side.
To be a chunk.
You see a lot of those guys.
Chunk-alicious fat fuck.
You see a lot of those guys in Louisiana. Really skinny dude. And big old fat woman.
You see it the other way around sometimes, though, too.
Yeah,
I've seen
it's
some,
all
like,
but guys,
know, hot little tight-ass chicks walking around with, like, big old blubbergumptious dude.
That's my girlfriend.
Wonder why you,
dudes that have
you prefer
the
that, Paul.
Dudes that have the Dunlap, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It's the sexual thrill.
That belly one, Dunlapped over that dick, dude.
Oh, damn. It's the sexual thrill one can apparently get from being over... This is feederism we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not chubby chasers anymore. It's the sexual thrill one can apparently get from being overfed or doing the overfeeding. Now, someone who likes to be fed is called a feedee.
Uh-huh.
The person who's the person who gets aroused by doing the feeding is called a feeder.
Okay.
So that's how that works.
I see.
Oh, God.
You understand now, Paul?
Uh-huh.
Feed me.
So, here's an example. This is a chick being fed. I think that's, what is that, a hot dog of some kind or something?
It looks like a bacon hot dog, yes.
Cool.
Maybe just a hot dog bun, but filled only with bacon.
So feederism is a paraphilia, which is a term that means having an unusual or uncommon sexual interest. Now, surprisingly high number of people have actually fantasized about this at one point. Respondents, there was about a survey that had about 4,000 plus respondents. 13 to 19% of participants in the survey reported having fantasized about this fetish before.
Okay.
With heterosexual women being the least likely to have done so at about 13%, and gay men being the most likely at 19%.
Wait. So that it's way more likely then for this type of relationship to be two dudes?
Not necessarily. Because only about 2% of any gender or sexuality group said they have feeder fantasies often.
Okay, so it's just so stratified that even finding one of them is rare.
Right.
So the combinations are all rare.
So while there's a lot of people who have had a fantasy about it at some point, there's not very many people who have it as their default. Like, this is their main
thing.
Now,
is this a worldwide thing, or is this primarily located in the U.S.?
I don't know that.
I would imagine that it's worldwide. I could see Germans being into this.
Yeah.
Eat more Wiener Schnitzel.
Yes.
Eizen the chocolate. Yeah.
More Bratwurst.
I love how fat you're getting. Yeah.
Eat the Wiener Schnitzel.
Your ass is getting so blubbergumptious. Yeah. Eat another eat another English muffin smeared with butter.
So, if only about 2% of people, or 2% or less, of any particular group actually have this as their main thing. So you can imagine how few of those are actually even living the lifestyle.
This is the American.
So this is very few people actually living this as their, you know, kind of thing. You know, there's people who fantasize about it a lot, maybe, but not many, and even less that actually are living it. So it's not a common thing.
You know what, though? These people, and I think you have to admit this, TJ, these people are living the American fucking dream.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, look at this woman. Does she look discontent to you? She has a fucking plate of bacon. She has a plate of either English muffins or bagels smothered in butter and fucking a full fat fucking cream cheese. Then for dessert, she had a Kit Kat. Looks like another
and look
snack.
At that giant glass of
and
chocolate
a fucking
milk,
half
dude.
Gallon of chocolate milk. Oh, it's Nesquik.
Yep.
There's the bottle. She's gonna fucking polish off that whole bottle. I mean, look. She's a fucking perfect consumer. She's gonna eat until she just is dead. She's just a fat fucking lump of shit on a fucking bed somewhere, and this guy is going to be fucking jerking off the whole time. I'm like, oh, this is great.
Well, actually, some of them, I didn't really pull anything about it, but in my research, I did find that some people are into this fetish to the point of actually fetishizing the unhealthy side effects of it.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they get to the point of like, yeah, I got diabetes now. This is awesome, you know? And it's like, yeah, eat myself to death. I want my lifespan to be as short as possible.
Well, have you ever seen the show My 600-Pound Life?
No.
Ever heard of it? Okay, what was the show?
I've heard of it.
Well, it's basically supposed to help people who are obviously super obese lose weight.
Right.
But often what you find with these people is that they have to have enablers at a certain point because they can't really walk around. Like, she's not to that point. But if she's, like, 600 pounds, say, in a fucking 2 or 3 years, this guy will be doing everything for her. Like, you need to go to the bathroom, let me help you. I'm going to have to wipe the shit from your ass, literally.
And then she's completely dependent on him, too.
Yes, of course. It's like a submissive thing as well.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
So where do these fantasies come from? Where do they come from, y'all?
I'm guessing in the same way that like foot fetish folks are kind of crosswired to associate feet with sexual organs and shit. Maybe people are crosswired in a way that makes them look at like the act of eating or the act of feeding someone or eating or getting fatter or all three at the same time. You know,
yeah, maybe
it's a
made an association.
What do you think, Scotty?
Could be like they theorize at least a lot of sexual fetishes have some childhood moment that. You know, something happened where they started, you know, wanting to be fed or wanting to feed somebody, make someone healthy and fat or whatever.
Well, let's take a look at some of the material these gentlemen are looking at. This is actually on YouTube.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is called,
come on, TJ. We can't get away with this.
We can get away
with it. Oh, my goodness.
This is called Fat Feedy Can't Fit Into Her Jeans
wow.
Anymore.
Can't
fit them jeans. She's trying to get them jeans on.
Can they fit?
You can't see nothing. Everything's covered.
They can't.
Ostensibly.
They can't fit.
I mean, covered, yes.
Sort of.
They don't fit.
Do they can't fit them jeans no more.
Gonna have to go size up, maybe two.
No.
But the real entertainment comes. She struggles to get them on. She can't.
Of course she can't.
But the real Those fun is in the small. Comments section, though. Plump and round is the best way to describe you. Hope you continue your joy of gaining.
Oh, boy.
You're very sexy looking, but I think yoga pants would be much butter if they stretch.
Oh,
butter,
boy.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, my God, you look amazing. I love how much you've grown. Keep it up.
That's Damn. Some thirsty fucks in this shit.
I would pay you to devour me. I'd be really filling. Lol. A little bit of a vor guy going on
hey,
there.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's been a pleasure to see you struggle. More braless. Love you. Thank you. If you need any support... Let us know, or me know, and we / me can help feed you.
This dude is really fishing. He's hoping that she hits up Tyler for a sugar
Please,
daddy
let
or
me
something.
Feed you.
I love this. There's nothing better than a girl with a gut. Heart. Ring. Heart, heart.
Wow,
heart,
dude, he wants to put a
lock,
ring on it?
100%.
Damn, that guy is real excited.
The
and
hottest
four
lady
other
on YouTube.
Too.
More videos. More.
So
this is not... As uncommon a fetish as it may seem.
27,000 people are watching this, and they all love it.
Right.
They love it.
Chubby Cat 666.
So maybe this is, like, less common as a... more common as a fetish, but way less common as people that are actually going to meet up and start living
the
I'm going to stuff bacon hot dogs and buttery waffles down
So anyway,
your mouth.
Thought you guys might enjoy that little detour, but let's go back.
That
to
was
the,
a detour?
Yeah, let's enjoy the little question you guys I asked you was where does these fantasies come from?
Okay.
I just thought maybe it'd be good to look at an example
sure.
of the kind of people that are into it, or at least as much as you can glean from YouTube comments.
I mean, hey, there's a lot of psychology playing out in the YouTube comments.
There obviously is. Here's a Carl's Jr. ad.
Oh, my goodness.
You remember this Carl's Jr. ads?
I remember, maybe not this the one specifically, but there was a whole slew of these in the early 2000s. You remember them?
Yes.
And they were just like each one was sexier than the last. Like, it was like they were trying to push the envelope for how much
sexiness sexy they could put in a burger ad, basically.
And make it
dude,
a burger,
that fucking yeah. Carl's Jr. battle looks like it's like about to go in her pussy, dude. That's fucking, this is like the most
no,
sexual
dude, it look, thing. Like if that star is
he's
on the reverse side of that bag, he is face first in
she's
that
she's literally
pussy.
Pulling her skirt up, and the only thing obstructing her pussy is that
damn.
The Carl's Jr. star is going to town on that.
He is the star right here, man.
So, and you notice what she's doing here is really eroticizing that food.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, yeah, she's definitely inviting an association between a big juicy burger and a big juicy pussy.
Well, there's a few different theories as to what causes feederism. Now, some have argued that feederism is an exaggeration of the fact that we tend to find food and eating mildly arousing to begin with. As evidence of this, consider a study in which people who weren't into feederism reported on their sexual arousal while looking at and listening to sexual, neutral, and feeding stimuli. What researchers found was that feeding stimuli were rated as more arousing than neutral stimuli, although not as arousing as sexual stimuli. So basically, human beings inherently are slightly sexually aroused by food anyway.
Wow.
But just on a very, like, a mild level.
I guess that makes sense. If someone eats something that's, like, really, it's like, oh, my God, so
you eat,
fucking
yeah, you can
good.
Even hear the noises. People make, oh, yeah, that's fucking delicious. You can kind of hear that, like, oh, that's, like, that's tickling some kind of little thing deep down inside somewhere that is kind of on the same wavelength
oh,
as
dude.
Your sexual
All you gotta
response.
Hear Paul make that noise is order a fucking pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Ben, Paul, I know you love some fucking pizza, dude.
I love a hamburger, too, though. That hamburger she's got, no joke, it looks
fuck
like it's
yeah,
got
dude.
It looks like it's got jalapenos on it. It looks like the jalapeno ranch onion straw monstrosity that they had for a while.
One of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons.
Great episode. All the early Treehouse of Horror episodes are great. More. So, in the same survey that I referenced a bit earlier, the 4,000-plus people survey, people who fantasize about being feeders reported that their partners in the sexual fantasies tended to weigh more. So, basically, they were already into fatness to begin with.
Okay. That's interesting, because I always wondered if they, like, some of these chicks that you see that are in these feeder relationships started as, like, healthy weight.
A lot of
them
did.
Dudes, like, built them
yes,
up.
Yes.
Oh,
happens.
Really?
That, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll actually look at a case of that in just a second here.
So it's like they like to be responsible for making them fat, too.
So, yeah, and it kind of supports the idea that they're attracted to fatness in general. Now, second,
right, sure.
Those who fantasize about being feeders reported more BDSM fantasies in general. So there's a sadistic element to it, as you're, like, feeding someone to the point of it actually hurting them. There's a bondage element to it, as some of these people are, like, restrained during feedings, or there's funnels and things
Whoa,
used and stuff like
damn.
That. So it ties into a lot of other desires.
Sure.
So
some that we might talk about a little later.
Yes. So as you guys were talking about, sometimes or this girl here, this is a Barcroft TV video from 2013, I believe. Yeah, 2013.
Okay.
And hopefully, I don't think we'll watch the whole thing, but you can
check
out.
We can take
a
little gander
pieces here. So
here's
this woman. And
this
is the
same
woman from
the
picture.
Yeah.
This is actually the same photo.
So yeah, they're like buttery waffles.
They're Eggos.
I weigh myself every morning to see how much I'm going to eat throughout the day, how much I need to take in, making sure I didn't lose any weight. And I weigh myself at night to see the work that I did and be proud of myself.
Yes.
Is she, so, did they, oh, so they blended up some ice cream so it can be funneled to her.
Yes.
I mean, I guess at least they're efficient.
So she's putting real effort into this whole getting
she
fat
really
thing.
She really is.
So I wanted to show a interview with her friend who's going to talk about, like, well, you'll see.
Hi. When Tammy
some
told me she was
for
doing
you.
It on purpose, I kind of freaked out and got very upset and scared for, I want her to be able to be here for a long time.
Well, she ain't gonna be, so.
So she's basically why would you're doing this intentionally? This
See,
is
dude,
like,
I gotta be honest you know, with you. My range of attraction to the female body is
pretty robust,
pretty,
right?
Yeah, it's pretty wide.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this chick looks pretty damn good to me.
Right.
Compared to some other chicks probably her size. I think she wears it pretty well.
Well, I don't want to show too much of this because I don't know Barcroft TV or how much they're protective, but I thought it'd be interesting to take a look at these comments.
Oh, God.
So, like, see, we saw the comments of the people who were into this before. Let's see the comments of a general audience who just stumbles upon this.
Got it, yeah, because this is a wider audience.
Girl,
for this too.
Those aren't curves. Those are fat rolls. 1,000 upvotes.
Damn.
The sad thing is her body doesn't look like it should be really fat. Is there bodies that are supposed to be really fat?
Yeah, I guess there's some people that just look like they're supposed to be real fat.
Like, she has a good structure. I bet if she worked at it a little, she could eat. She could look stunning.
So this guy is feeling the fucking, you know.
Damn, what a waste of a potentially good pussy, man.
Yeah.
Too bad she got all fat and
stuff.
But
he doesn't want to, like, admit that, you know, he's actually attracted to her at this weight. So he's like, yeah, I think she could be stunning, you know, if she put in a little work. It's like, come on. Just say that if this chick fucking knocked on Trusky Blue's door and was like, can I suck your dick? You'd be like, oh, right away, ma'am. You wouldn't be like, no, you're a little too thick.
Her boyfriend should be charged with some type of crime. It's a sick fetish these men have.
Oh, yeah, because she looks totally unwilling as a participant in this.
She's involved in
you
this.
You saw him punching her and threatening her.
Women actually at this point have agency, so.
No, they don't.
I mean, she's
no, actually,
lying.
They don't, TJ.
Oh, they don't? I'm
no,
sorry.
No, they don't. Because of hardcore radical feminism, women don't. You can't make an argument. You can't be a rad feminist and make an argument that women have agency.
Well, I'm not a rad feminist, so I can still make the agency argument.
Okay.
Girl, just
well,
blow
I deny
up your
shorts. You. I deny you just based on who you are,
okay.
TJ. Cool.
It's sad because she's really pretty and she's basically killing herself. Okay, well, fair enough.
Killing me softly with drumsticks. That butt crack has got to be super nasty. This is ridiculously sick.
Notice now this is a chick. Now, I want you to know that there's probably salt behind this in some way, because Bethany Grimes probably sees that, like, this chick is big, but she's pulling it off okay. And so she wants to act like that every fat person's ass crack has just got to be gross.
This person doesn't even care about her body. She's like, her house is filthy. The kitchen floor.
I didn't say it, but if it was nasty, it was nasty. Whatever.
When her best friend cried for her, Jesus, Kelly, everyone's concerned for your life except you and your fetishist boyfriend.
What? Who cares about your fucking concern for her life?
It's her life.
Why is she supposed to live under the constant pressure of the concern of Rye Road from YouTube and 34 other fucking blithe retards? Fuck you. I hate this idea that we need, everybody in the world needs your fucking concern. You think this big bitch hasn't heard a million fucking times in her life? That she needs to lose weight, that it's unhealthy to be fat,
well,
that she should eat bacon hot dogs and butter-covered waffles every day and blend up 2 gallons of ice cream and drink it every day and weigh herself and reward herself. That you think she doesn't know she shouldn't?
It's obvious. It's completely
obvious.
It's
because she shouldn't. You people feed these people's fetish by making it dirty and wrong because they're just like, ooh, that's what I'm into. I shouldn't eat all this fucking bacon today, but I'm going to, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know you shouldn't be eating it too, baby, but I'm going to feed it to you, honey. Oh, yeah, it's so dirty. Everybody thinks it's so wrong. They tell me how fat I'm getting. Oh, baby, I love it. I love how fat you're getting. You know what? You think you're helping her by going, ew.
Look at this.
How fat you're getting. She loves that.
She's proud of this. She's completely proud of
she's
what she's doing.
She's piping a gallon of fucking ice cream now.
Yeah, she looks
three
happy.
Times a day. You think you're going to shame her out of this, you dumb fucks?
So you might want to know where she is today. I know I did. Unfortunately, I wasn't. It seems like she's retired from life as a public figure. Or my other theory is that maybe she got so fat that she swallowed the universe, and we all exist within her now.
That's possible.
The belly
maybe
of the
that's
beast.
Why. Maybe that's why I have a you know, like I feel defensive of her because I'm you know it's the universe that
oh,
we're
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
We're now in her gut. Somehow, this tall, lanky motherfucker that found this chick piped our asses down that funnel.
I don't think that you're being. I don't think you're wrong to be defensive of her. I mean, you can. I mean, I don't agree with her lifestyle, but it's not my decision to make. She has. She has the autonomy to make that decision. I think they both fully understand that this is not a healthy lifestyle, but this is the lifestyle they've chosen to pursue, and they're obviously happy with it. They went on a fucking TV show or allowed themselves to be interviewed. So,
I mean,
what's the big deal with them doing it? I mean,
here's the hypocrisy of people being freaked out by this. There are plenty of fat motherfuckers, way fatter than her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walking around Walmart that are doing that shit to themselves every day. literally funneling not ice even cream trying and to pork chops it, yeah. and everything they can fucking, all the bacon they can eat, you know, 24/7 and just getting fatter and fatter and yeah, fatter. And nobody 100%. Gives a fuck about that.
Sounds like
no,
me.
There's no bleeding hearts or concern out there for that. No. It's this person that gets off on it. People hate when people get off on shit.
It's puritanical.
Why? Well, yeah, the Puritans are always here, dude. They're back in a big way, too.
Oh, dude, they never left, man. They're always, even if they, it seems like you know, in the 90s, they got the gut punch, like, oh, everything's edgy. Now it's like, yeah, we're back, bitches.
No, they've come back, like, they just come back strong. You know, they're back in a big way on both sides.
How they roll. Oh,
totally roll. Political roll. Spectrum.
All right, so I went to I wanted to find some communities, you know, of these people. So I found, first thing I found was
these people.
Reddit.
Yeah, what is these people?
Feeders and feedies.
They're not humans now?
Yeah, I guess. I said people.
These objects.
So first I went
fellow
to...
Fellow humans.
Yeah, all right. So I found my fellow human. Anyway, fuck you guys. So I went to Reddit's R feederism.
Yes. I don't mean to interrupt you, but this I will say this. If you want to call a group, describe a group of people, I've heard a lot of SJWs and other people say folks.
Folks, okay.
Folks.
Okay, so these folks I found... I hate the word folks. So I went to Reddit's R feederism, which is a not safe for work subreddit, so don't visit that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're, you know, you want, that's what you want.
Don't visit that.
Why not?
I mean, just don't visit it at work.
Where the top post of all time, this top post is kind of surprising to me, so okay. I'm going to show you. All
right.
Let's take a look.
It was surprising to me because she's really not very fat.
Yeah, see, this chick is not fat in my estimation. This chick has got some extra weight on her and shit, for
she's
sure.
She's got enough of a little belly to grab or not, whatever, but.
She does not escape the normal size orbit for me.
But you know
she just
what?
Looks thick.
She's on a journey, though.
So, but she wants to go up.
I'm sure yeah. she's trying to gain. Yeah, I mean, like most of these women you see here are trying to gain weight or whatever. So she's probably trying to get past this. But this is the top post on that subreddit. So this is like obviously a lot of the dudes there. This is kind of what they're looking for. This level. They're not really looking
already
for like
kind
of
just started to get a little chunky
yeah,
and
I
willing
mean,
to fucking
I'm not saying there aren't dudes out there looking for the giant glutton. I mean, obviously we've seen.
Well, you know what they
but
I think they want to be involved in the whole process. They don't want it. You know, she's already fat. That's probably one thing. They're like, okay, that's nice. But they want to be the one making them fat.
Right.
They don't want just simply to have someone who's fat. They want to be involved. Like, I'm sure once they become fat, they're thrilled. But that's because they knew they did it.
So I actually found out that R feederism is not the most popular of the subreddits devoted to this, though. There's actually R stuffers, which is also not safe for work.
Stuffers.
So I went and found their top post of all time.
Okay. What's theirs?
And also...
You can see some progress, though.
Not a hugely fat girl, though.
Or is this? Or is she just pushing her belly out?
I think she's just pushing her belly out versus sucking it in. Maybe.
Oh, okay. Got you. I thought this might have been like a...
I don't think this is a before and after or anything. I think this is just different poses.
Okay.
But, you know, also, but just once again, like, you know, she's got a belly.
Yeah, she's
a little bit,
though.
But this is not some hugely fat, morbidly obese woman. Now, there are pictures like that on those, but the top pictures in both of those subreddits
seem to be these kind of, like, thick.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. I think she's thick. She's not, like, fucking fat. This is not a fat chick.
So
she does not rise to that level.
No, yeah, not at all. You know, whatever.
It's
kind of like a thing where, you know, like it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. Like some dudes are going to look at this. Oh, my gosh, she's so fat. Right. So fat. So fat.
I'd say she's probably classified as overweight.
I mean, yeah, I would say maybe
she's not obese.
I'd say chubby.
Whatever.
That point.
Chubby.
So I started to think that most of the people with this feeder fetish are not really attracted to gigantic obesity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some are. But what's really more popular in the community is, like, this chubbiness or this mild fatness. But maybe it's, like Scotty said, they just see that as, like, oh, I want to push it to that limit. You know, they need something that's, like, kind of – they're not super fat yet, but when they get with me and I start feeding them
– then they're going to –
then they're going to get balloon fat. And that's, like, oh, yeah, then I'll have my, you know, totally dependent on me fat girl – around that, you know, can't move on her own and all that stuff. So
feed me 16 Eggo waffles, baby.
But I don't know. But then I was like, wasn't there supposed to be a bunch of gay dudes into this? Because both these subreddits are like, no male fat people, no fat men. We only into fat chicks here.
There's nowhere for gay feeder guys.
Well, I actually did.
Fat
I
dudes.
Found
is there a
yet
gay
another
stuffers or something.
Yeah, it was R Stuffers Male, another NSFW. One.
Oh, okay. Well, they're just trying to keep shit, you know.
And so I found the top post
segregated.
Over there, and here it is.
Whoa! Now he's pretty fat, but he looks pretty happy too.
Yeah, he's pretty happy.
Yeah, he looks pretty happy.
He's
pretty
not,
happy,
you
but
know,
he's pretty fat.
They got lower standards over there, it seems.
They do have low standards over
no,
there.
I mean, this guy's not even naked, dude.
Well, I'll show you the actual number one post.
Okay.
So this is it.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Damn, dude.
That's a big belly.
I find it pretty funny that I can get away with these tits on YouTube, even though they look... It's exactly the same structure as a female titty at this point.
Kind of is.
But for some reason... That's okay, but if I showed
well,
a female titty...
Only because there's a little beard in the shot.
Yeah.
If there was no beard in the shot, if this was just head, like neck down or some shit, you might get busted.
What did
this
fucking dude eat to get 6 pounds? that's
just... empty. This is empty belly versus full belly. So
yeah.
This is he's just showing off that he ate, you know, 6 pounds worth of food in whatever one sitting he did this in.
That's fucking nuts, dude.
And you can even see that it's, you know, distended further.
Yeah,
of course,
six,
he could just be lying. He could just
shit.
Be sucking it in one and pushing it out in the other.
Maybe,
knows?
But man, it looks...
But
just
at that size, I don't even
I,
know how much pushing out
dude
does.
I don't have to even fucking doubt that. He's got a fucking bulbous fucking... It's like a fucking giant egg in his belly, dude. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, that's a big old bell.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big fat bell.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's, like, disturbing, dude. I almost feel like it's, like, fucking, like... It's, like, sentient. Like, the nipples are the eyes, dude, and the rest of
it's
it
is.
Like...
It does have a segmento countenance to it.
Damn,
it would
dude,
definitely
what the fuck?
Be its own character, for sure.
That's self-aware.
If we knew this person.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It looks like he shaves, too. Like, he's shaving the whole works up on the chest and shit. Because those are just, like, remarkably hairless tits.
So?
Are you sure this is... Are you sure this is safe for work, TJ?
This is not. I mean, well, the subreddit isn't. This picture, I guess, is.
Oh, okay, good.
I mean, I personally don't see why... It seems like there's a weird double standard as far as, like, what titties are allowed to be shown.
Right.
But
well, that's
whatever.
That's existed for a long time.
That's not... I didn't create that. I'm starting to realize that I didn't pull as much research for this as I thought I did, so we're going to do an old standby gag here. You ready for the old standby gag? This is the one where I read some feeder fiction.
Uh-huh.
While stuffing my face full of donuts.
Oh, you love this gag, TJ.
Yeah, because
I
get to eat donuts. I
can see why you did this one.
Yeah, I get to eat donuts.
Is this you coming out as a feeder, too? Are
yeah.
you just admitting that
well,
this
is just
your game
me,
now?
Like, you know, if 19% of people, I think, or something like that,
are
fantasize.
Interested. Yeah.
You know, something right. So,
well, up to 19% of people.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, obviously, why not do something for them, you know? Why not
right.
give them a little show?
Why not?
Plus, I'm going to read some erotic fiction.
But, ooh. Titillating.
You got. I'll start eating at a. I'm not gonna eat at the very beginning. Let's get a little into the story
okay.
first.
Let me put on my shade so I can hide the lust in my eyes.
Yeah, try to
this.
Do that. She wakes up at 2:30 in the afternoon, screaming to be fed breakfast.
Ooh.
She'd spent the better part of the night in a feeding binge and hadn't fallen asleep till just after 3 a.m. Her binge probably would have lasted longer, but all the fast food and pizza places were closed by then. She produced so much garbage from her binge that I nearly filled our dumpster to over full. If her eating binges keep up like this, we'll have to increase dumpster sizes again. Luckily, they'd always come for the daily emptying of it, because she'll be most likely to do it again today. But where was I? Ah, yes, breakfast. I quickly filled one of the
Scotty,
dessert
carts. Scotty, what are you doing under the table?
Oh, nothing, man. Nothing.
What are you doing under the
donuts
table there?
Nothing, man.
And wheel it towards her room. She is screaming at the top of her lungs about how hungry she is and calling me all sorts of names for starving her to death.
What kind of names?
I don't know.
Specifically, like, what are you,
This writer should have added some names.
Yeah, man,
This
putrid
is how she
piglet.
Normally wakes up in the morning. Yeah. I'm put morning in quotes because she rarely wakes up before noon and sleeps at least 14 hours a day.
Scotty, what the fuck,
man? Oh, well,
man,
I'm just...
This is so unprofessional.
The rest is spent
lying
in her specially reinforced custom ultra-wide king-size bed,
oh, yeah, fuck.
Which she hasn't been out of for 5 years,
good.
Eating and watching TV. I enter the room. There's a KFC commercial on TV which is making her drool profusely. She sees me and immediately shouts...
Well, it's about time. Her voluminous jowls and chin quiver and flap with anger.
That makes me think of Jabba.
Her face is beet red with anger.
Is it Jabba the Hutt?
I'm lying here starving to death. And you're out in the kitchen messing around, probably eating my food. Get over here quick. I'm giving that grub.
Oh, TJ, that's you waited until right the fucking right moment.
I do as I'm told.
TJ's good at this. He is part of this fucking...
When it comes to food, I take my baby very seriously.
Oh, man. You should wash that down with a pint of melted vanilla ice cream,
and
TJ.
So it's hot.
You got any chocolate milk, TJ? Can go fetch it?
Yeah, go for me chocolate milk.
Yeah, dude, you got to fucking drink some.
There's Ovaltine in my cabinet.
Yeah, dude, we got to fucking feed you, TJ. You got to get healthy, man.
The pudgy little hands she grabbed her first bite, like shoveling donuts into her mouth, almost instantly making a big mess.
Well, they look pretty tasty. I like those little Hostess donuts.
She moans and pleasures as she does this donut after donut, box after box. She's a lot of them like she hasn't eaten for weeks.
Ew.
Every 5 minutes and 100 donuts. She swallows hard and says, "Well, listen, stay in there, dummy. Now you see how thick it is? Go get me another cart and fix me my breakfast." Then she goes on gorging like I'm not even there.
Is it getting hot in here? Is it just me?
I won.
Somebody turn the heater on.
Get another cart and prepare her breakfast. No matter how late in the day she wakes up, she's always on her breakfast.
I'm almost
turning it up, and she yells me from the other room. We have another cart full of donuts. I bring them into her, and tell her breakfast is almost ready.
This is hideous.
She grunts, and just her mouthful of donuts. Well, it's about time.
Oh my God, that is 90% Ovaltine.
And of course, we got whole milk.
What the fuck, dude? Sky, show me that glass.
You have whole milk. That's the Ovaltine.
That's like an ounce of Ovaltine or more.
2 ounces. 10 ounces.
Wow.
Look at this here, TJ. Oh, dude, the milk is even penetrating all the Ovaltine.
The upper portions of her giant breast are each nearly covered by smeared donut goop. And most of the top portion of her paunch as well.
Her
fat face is almost blotted out with cream and goo as well. Her long blonde hair is matted with food particles, not just from this morning's feast, but from last night's as well.
Scotty's a feedee and TJ's a feeder, dude. No. Scotty's a feeder.
Here you go, TJ.
He wants to see TJ pipe this fucking Ovaltine.
And her small, girlish chin is dwarfed by a hanging sack of flabby chins and neck fat. What are you fucking taking so long with that damn Ovaltine? Get it over here.
Make sure it's nice and sturdy.
Enough! Give me the fucking Ovaltine, bitch!
The funny thing is, that's usually how TJ makes it. Damn, dude, that's a fucking huge. That's like
Jesus. Look at you. What a fucking champion. TJ just literally drank like a half gallon of Ovaltine. It was at least, 30% Ovaltine.
I used the most of his Ovaltine to make it.
Her upper arms are, whatever. It goes on.
Well, there you go. I'm sure there's probably 2 or 3 people in the audience that are super happy about what just happened. And I gotta be honest, TJ, you did a good job with it. You very much committed. You got through the material.
Yep.
Do you feel healthy now, TJ?
Yeah, how do you feel? Super healthy.
You feel
still
good?
Hungry, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, have a few more donuts, then.
I'm out.
Oh, shit. Should
have got more packs of donuts.
Well, you need to find yourself a good feeder. You'd never be out of donuts.
That's true.
Yeah,
I got to get Chelsea into this shit.
Yeah.
Feed me, Chelsea.
I want
make an appeal to
that.
Chelsea right now to be a feeder because you want to eat donuts.
We already know your breakfast, TJ. Whole fucking box of Eggo waffles, done. 2 pounds of bacon, everything loaded down with butter. I mean, bacon, extra butter, waffles, extra butter. And if you want a little snack, maybe a few candies. I think they did it wrong. I want a candy dish. You can just, maybe some Hershey's you can just pop in your mouth, in the meal while you're eating. You got, if you want to be a feeder tuna, you want to be the best feeder you can possibly be.
I'm not want to be a feeder. I want to be a feedie.
Well, best feedie you can possibly.
Fuck feeding. Fuck that. I want my food. I want my fucking food, bitch.
I think you could probably get Chelsea into it.
Yeah, I think
she's
so.
She's got to feed you pizza pies and donuts and ice
Sounds
cream all day.
Sounds easy enough, man.
You know?
Let's get on it.
Stranger things have happened, TJ.
They have. And they're about to, too.
Why is that?
Because it's your turn, Paul.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad we waited until later in the episode to get to my part. And I appreciate that TJ gave me cock and ball torture because he knows that I'm a squeamish fuck.
Yeah, it was funny.
But I will tell you this, TJ. Yeah. I rose to your challenge.
You did?
And I found a man that doesn't necessarily exemplify cock and ball torture, but engaged in it to a level that most men can never credibly claim to have engaged in it.
Whoa.
This is Bob Flanagan.
Cool.
And this guy was apparently a huge counterculture figure in the 90s. He was a member of the Groundlings, which we've covered some members of. You remember some Groundling members?
A lot of them went on to SNL.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of
So he did some
legends.
Work with the Groundlings. A very smart guy, a very talented guy, an artist, a visual artist, a poet.
Is he dead?
He is dead.
Oh, he is dead. Okay.
Self-described super masochist. This is Bob Flanagan. And this is from a work that is a giant wall that he and his wife made where they had, I can't remember the exact number, but it was something like 39 different implements to beat him with.
Hold on. So each one of these is like a different, different implement being used?
39 elements to beat him with, and then a series of like 100 photos with each implement, and it covers the entire wall. It's called Faces of Pain.
I mean, Faces of Pain.
It is kind of a unique concept. It's kind of something you would see in like a major city. Like
I like how each expression of pain is a little different, too.
Yes.
Really, it is, yeah.
Because they always, I think, are.
And these are various, so they're using a different thing on him each time to get this expression, or to capture this expression, I'm assuming or guessing.
Yeah.
Cool.
So anyway, he also had cystic fibrosis. He was born with it, which is a terminal disease. Most people don't live past their youth with it. Very rare for somebody to make it to 20.
What does that do?
It is a lung disease, a respiratory disease that makes your lungs produce a ton of phlegm, basically.
Oh, damn.
And
so you're
constantly
like
sick.
Phlegm.
Yeah, you're constantly prone to respiratory infection, constantly sick. Like I said, it usually people succumb to it in their childhood.
Wow.
But he managed to live with it, and according to his own testimony, using S&M and cock and ball torture as part of that.
Wow, so it's kind of like a coping mechanism for him.
He was in pain all day, every day, and pain, he had to reassert his mastery over it, and he put his body through some crazy shit.
Cool.
There is a fantastic documentary that a friend put me onto. That if you're interested in this dude, you should check out, because I'm not going to spend the whole episode talking about him. Like I said, he's not the poster child of cock and ball torture. Maybe he should be, though.
He is now.
The documentary is called Sick, The Life and Death of Bob Flanagan, Super Masochist. And it's really cool and really hard to watch, especially if you're a squeamish fuck like me. He at one point nails his penis and balls to a 2x4. While singing a song called "I Need a Hammer," he had a very like dark sense of humor about everything that was wrong with him and all the things that he engaged in. And I think there's a Happiness and Slavery,
yeah,
which a lot of people might remember this from the 90s.
This is a Nine Inch Nails video, right?
Yeah.
So should I have to turn the volume off? Or,
Okay, so this dude. Okay, cool.
If you go to about 3 minutes, TJ, we won't show cock and balls.
Okay, 3 minutes.
But you'll get a good look at Bob being drilled and tortured by this insane chair. You didn't get much of a look at him, but he's very prominent in this video. Most of the time his dick and balls are out, so we can't really show that to you, but I was not aware that he was this guy until I started doing the research for this episode.
And 1.9 million people have enjoyed his torment in this
Vimeo.
Music video.
I mean,
Vimeo
I had
alone.
This...
On fucking Vimeo.
This video was like underground, because obviously it was way too explicit to be shown.
On MTV,
Nine Inch Nails did a few releases of it on VHS and shit, with a bunch of other rare shit, and I had it.
Cool.
So it's cool to know that this dude wasn't just some actor. You know, that they were like, hey, here's a weird job. You got to pretend you're in pain. This is a dude that liked pain, and they were able to, they put him through pain in the video. Like, some of the shit that they do to him looks like it actually hurts. And then it gets special effects-y when it rips him apart.
Yeah. They didn't actually rip him apart for the video.
No.
He's probably sitting there like, God, I wish you could.
Yeah, so he actually said he managed to live so long. He lived to the ripe old age of, I think it was 46.
Wow.
With a disease that usually kills people before they even reach adulthood.
He said he had the ability to fight pain with pain. So self-inflicted pain might have canceled out the involuntary pain within caused by the disease.
So he kind of used it as like a means of like, if I'm going to be in pain all the time, I'm going to be in pain on my terms, basically.
Right. If you want to find like a picture of Bob in this video, like find a frame of his face or some shit.
I just don't want to accidentally...
land on his cock.
Okay, there you go.
Perfect.
Yeah, just leave him there. So in order to talk about CBT with any kind of realistic view, you need to know a little bit about sadism and masochism. And I don't honestly know a whole lot about it. I know kind of basically... It's like, Scotty, if you had to define sadomasochism, how would you define it?
Probably... I would say the best understanding I have of it is this, is that... If you're a sadist, you like to inflict harm or pain on people. You like to be the more of a dominant person in a relationship or whatever. You know, I guess it's just a sexual coupling of some kind. And if you're the M part would be a masochist, that you enjoy receiving that. Like, you enjoy being dominated, controlled, beaten, or whatever it is your kink is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're in agreement there. And that sounds to be pretty dead on with what I found. But it goes way deeper than all that. So... most obviously, the sadist may derive pleasure from feelings of power, authority, control, or from just the suffering of the masochist. The sadist may also harbor an unconscious desire to punish the object of their sexual attraction for having aroused his desire and thereby subjugated him, or in some... So it's almost like... Yeah, I was hot for you, so I want to punish you for that.
Yeah, it's very intertwined, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, if you just have one, it doesn't really complete it. So it's like,
you frustrated me.
Yeah, S&M, yeah, so it's like, but it's good, because that's in a way he's being punished in that sexual exchange, too, because it's like, you've made me so horny that I have to do this to you.
So by objectifying his partner, who is thereby rendered subhuman, the sadist does not need to handle the partner's emotional baggage. And so there's a whole lot of disassociation in the act of sadomasochism on the sadist side. For the masochist, taking on a role of subjugation and helplessness can offer a release from stress or the burden of responsibility or guilt.
And obviously in this guy's case, what was his name again? Bob Flanagan. In Bob Flanagan's case, clearly it had that effect for him.
It can also evoke infantile feelings of dependency, safety, protection, which can serve as a proxy for intimacy. So all of those things are intertwined. You know, very few people are actually super vanilla sexually.
Right.
People are kinky.
Most people have at least like a touch of some of this going on somewhere.
And these associations may all be subconscious, but they're there.
It's like, oh, yeah. Bitch is so fine, I just want to fucking rip her apart or some shit. Or
Well, think about what would be orgasmic to someone like this, the release from the pain he constantly lives with. So, I mean, you could see this as like kind of him saying, well, I'm going to take on this pain, but then it gives
me... I'm going to enjoy my pain.
Yeah, I enjoy this pain because this is the pain, me saying fuck you to the pain I live with every day.
Right. It may be like seeking approval from the sadist as well. Some masochists claim to be driven by that.
What did you think about, you know, Paul, you have a little bit of more experience with this than you'd probably like, because you participated in that fucking game show that I came up with.
Yeah.
And your ass got beat fucking raw.
And you got beat more than most people who are like just casually into even the lifestyle.
Right.
You got beat like bad.
Yeah.
To where your ass was like just one giant bruise, basically.
I didn't really derive a whole lot of pleasure from it.
I didn't imagine that you did.
But it wasn't entirely, like, horrible either. Like, if in a different setting, it might have been kind of cool.
Did you ever get the endorphin rush?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, dude. When she was hitting me with that wooden paddle and would catch me with the edge with it and shit and kind of hitting the meat and the bone and shit, I know she wasn't really supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, that's not.
That was her experience.
That's just it bad. Happened multiple
not really,
times.
She didn't have a lot of experience.
And, like,
with the
yeah, dude, you'd get this,
shit.
Like, as soon as, like, when it was done, like, of course, during it, all you can concentrate on is the fire in your ass, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the back of your legs.
I remember, like, when fucking TJ fucking
but afterwards, there is this, like, super rush, and it's not, like, relief that it's over. It's just, like, all that pent-up potential energy in your body of getting beat on and not knowing exactly when it's going to stop releases, and there's this flood of, like, kind of good feelings in your head. So I could definitely see the association. For me, I don't know. Like, definitely not in a setting like that.
Right.
Was I going to be turned
well,
on by
well, yeah, because, I mean, you're...
I got Pim Monk in a gimp mask.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be the...
You know what I mean? You know, I'm not...
I don't think many people were, like, hot by that because it was...
Oh,
no.
The context just wasn't right for that.
But you know, if
it
was Mistress Jin and I alone in a room, I might have been fucking... I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. You probably wouldn't have let her go that
squeal,
far.
Squeal, piggy. Squeal. That, you'd probably be like...
Yeah, I probably would have cried wolf, you know, or cried uncle or whatever they
avocado.
Call it.
Avocado!
Yeah, avocado.
There's usually some kind of
mustard coffee. Flour.
Yeah, well, yeah, but going into it, Paul knew he was gonna take
chrysanthemum.
A chrysanthemum because he
hold
fucking.
On, hold on a second, guys. I gotta grab something.
Oh, no problem.
Gotcha.
Dude, well, during that, I remember what fucking Paul told me afterwards. The reason he fucking won, he's like, you know what? He's like, at a certain point, I noticed I had a fucking lead. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna fucking buzz in every time because I'll just take it. I'll just take the bullshit. So I mean, like, you can already see like that probably is a strategy that people employ. Even if they enjoy this shit, you know what I mean? Like, you enjoy getting beat. It's probably like, how much can I even take? Or, you know, at a certain point, I'll just take all the pain.
I'll just take it all.
I mean, you're kind of into the dispensing of pain, aren't
take
you?
Take it all.
Like, you're into whipping or something.
I'm a sadomasochist, so I'm into both.
Okay, you're into both. Okay. Well, what about from the other perspective? The fucking, the one inflicting the pain.
What about from that perspective?
What do you think someone's thinking when they're doing it to some guy like, you know, Bob Flanagan here or whoever? Or, you know, Paul.
I mean, there's as many... I feel like there's as many unique pathologies involved as there is with any other activity.
Well, sure.
Like, you know, you watch...
But why does someone take that up and, like, want to do it constantly? I mean, yeah...
I mean, like...
Right.
It's like you... I got in that Forged in Fire show where they're making knives and shit.
Yeah, I'm saying, what's the difference...
And
like, the casual person in that...
You
person.
See all these people that have... They're all into this sort of metalwork and forging knives and shit, but... You know, they come to it from different psychological angles, and it's scratching different psychological itches for all of them. And I feel like stuff like this is the same way. I don't feel like there's one catch-all sort of like, this is the sadist mentality.
No,
this
no,
is
no, no,
the
no.
masochist mentality.
This,
like, I just don't know much about it, to be honest with you.
I pulled a little bit about it, like a cursory look, and I'm glad we're having a conversation about it, because there's really no way to talk about it without introducing the idea. But it is widely varied. There are people that are on, like, super far ends of the spectrum for some of this shit, on both ends, as sadists and as masochists.
Right.
I think Bob Flanagan was a guy that was probably more extreme than most.
The damage that he liked
to have done to his body was well beyond, I think, what most people would take. But he always had a great sense of humor about it. So if you're interested in seeing more about him, I'd check out that documentary if you can find it. Sick.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the topic at hand. We now know what sadomasochism is from a very, very layman's angle, so we can talk about cock and ball torture.
Cool. Finally.
So I didn't pull a like strict definition for
cock
and ball torture.
I think it's pretty obvious.
Because it really
is
what
right
it sounds like.
Yeah, it's just what it is.
It is, and it's really anything that you can think of all the way leading up to actually dismembering the penis in some people's minds, emasculating,
going
or
a little
castrated.
Bit far there, you know. But whatever.
We talked about that, yeah, the mind tile kind of story guy. Right?
Mind tile.
He actually cut off and ate his penis. I mean,
right.
I'm not going to rehash
we
that.
We covered
one.
That.
There
in
are
the
people, like I said,
too.
On the very extreme ends of this, but most of this is about pain and how far you can be pushed and how much little bits of damage you can take to that area, bruises and little micro abrasions. That's where most people land on this shit. So I pulled some implements of cock and ball torture. These are clothespins. Now, TJ, I'm sure I've been on the receiving end of the clothespin, so
the
I know.
Clothespins were one of the things that we used in the wheel of torture.
I had my nipples covered with, like, probably six apiece, I think.
Yeah, the
or
thing
five apiece.
The interesting thing about clothespins that a lot of people don't realize is that, yeah, does it hurt to put the clothespin on? Yes.
Yeah, the pinch is nasty.
But
there's a numbness that comes after you've had it on for a while.
After a while, it gets numb. But the real pain is when you take it off.
See, dude, can you go to the Wheel of Torture episode? Because when I sit down, when I finally win, you can see me pulling these things off of my nipples and how fucking much pain I'm in. Dude, it was the most excruciating thing that happened to me that night.
It
felt like a bullet every time I had to take one of those off.
I'm not going to scroll through that because I don't want to show DP on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't even think of it that way.
But yeah.
It's
I
like
just,
putting a Band-Aid on, man. It's like
dude, it was horrible.
When you put a fucking Band-Aid on, it's like,
well, what
cool.
happens is when you put something on there, it stops the blood from rushing that area.
Right.
Which is going to basically make it numb, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So putting the clothespin on, that hurts. But you know what? In about 2 or 3 minutes, you're not even going to feel it really much anymore. But when
it's
you
like
take it off
and
that blood
pain.
Rushes back in... Yep. That's actually the most painful part. And so people who think like, oh, I can't take it anymore, and they take it off, they don't realize you're actually in for the worst part of the fucking process there. So.
Right. So knowing that, you can imagine what these are used for. They are pinned all over the cock or the balls.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the cock is flaccid or hard doesn't seem to matter. It probably varies. And then, you know, and it's not just the cock and balls these are used on. Like TJ said, nipples. I saw Bob Flanagan get these all over his stomach.
I've seen mainstream TV shows put clothespins on people. You know,
sure.
It's like it's an easy, effective means of not really hurting someone but eliciting pain. You know, this is not going to do any permanent damage to your body.
So I pulled kind of a sexy definition here. The go-to household implement that is quick, easy to use on a slave. The online dominatrix can have you attach dozens of those sadistic little pegs to your sensitive skin, making you clamp more and more onto your shaft, and then keep adding them to your nutsack as well until there's no skin left showing. Dozens of pegs all biting away at the same time, leaving you in agony. That does not sound appealing to me in the least.
No.
But...
Oh, shit, sorry.
What?
No, I was...
Sorry. TJ, what are you doing?
I was...
Why are your pants down?
God, never mind. Dude. Never mind that. Never mind.
Just
next thing.
The fucking thought of just putting clothespins over my dick is...
How about chili sauce or powder all down
hot.
Your dick? Or in your pee hole?
Yes.
How about that,
I've
How about a sriracha dick hole?
I've
like
not
that?
Put something direct in my pee hole, but I've unintentionally fucking... I was like cutting up peppers one time and fucking it did touch my dick, dude. And I'll tell you what, it was fucking one of the worst fucking feelings I've ever experienced in my life.
So lots of doms like to make their slaves pour hot chili sauce or rub powder all over their cocks and balls.
Don't fucking do it, man.
After a few moments, it will start to burn. The pain will be intense as she makes you stand there and not move. It will feel like your junk is on fire.
Fire.
I don't think maybe sriracha would be the most spicy thing you
no,
could throw
sriracha,
on the dick.
That's like amateur level. Shit.
Fuck no, dude.
I wouldn't want sriracha down my pee hole, though.
No, you probably wouldn't. But, I mean, there's definitely stuff that's a lot rougher.
Well, how about the next implement, TJ?
Oh, I just wanted to point out you could also do this with Icy Hot.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually quite a few things that'll burn your dick if you put it on there.
Oh, yeah,
one of them
sure.
is, by the way, Lysol. So,
oh, gross. I don't want Lysol.
No, you shouldn't
on
do
my
that.
Menu.
That was an accidental thing.
Oh, yeah.
I've told the story.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't put that orange-smelling... shit on your balls accidentally.
You know what you should have put, TJ? Essential oils, dude.
Essential oils.
So what about this here, TJ?
It's a wrinkly ass hand.
What about a good old hand slap? Now think about, like, I don't know, dude. I don't like having my dick and balls slapped around, but it hurts, man. It takes your fucking breath away to have your dick and balls hit. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, well, like look, what we're talking about here is, you know, the reason, I mean, balls are the most vulnerable part of a man's body.
Right.
If we're just, like, you know, like, it, you know, women in the self-defense courses and shit always learn, like, go for the balls, attack the balls. It's just like the built-in weak spot. It's like the fucking exhaust port on the Death Star. So, yeah. And a nice, effective judo chop to the nuts it's going to work. It's going to do exactly what it needs to do.
That's a trope, dude, in movies and, like, comic books and shit, though. If you fight, like, a super bad villain and someone goes for the knee in the nuts and it's like, ain't nothing there. You know what I mean? Like,
ain't nothing there? What the fuck?
I've seen that one, or they just fucking take it. Like, it doesn't even hurt him. It's like, I hit you in the nuts, dude. It didn't even fucking faze you.
They should do one where you try, where the hero goes to punch the nuts and their hand breaks because the nuts
I will
are so
say
big.
In my life I've seen the perfect nut shot because it actually is hard to hit someone in nuts, dude.
No, it is hard to hit direct
because like when like fucking one day when Stevie was about that high for TJ, he just walked up to TJ for like no reason. He was just a little fucking shit kid and just punched TJ squarely in his fucking nuts, dude.
Oh my god!
And that motherfucker, I mean, like, and TJ at that time was like 6'4". And Stevie is maybe like 3 feet tall. TJ dropped like a ton of fucking bricks, dude. And then TJ's revenge was smashing Stevie's like what was that fucking movie at the time?
I don't know.
Space movie. God, what was it? Danger Will Robinson. Danger.
Lost in space.
Lost in space.
I did him a favor by smashing
like,
that.
Fuck you, Stevie! And you take the toy and just crush it. Stevie's like, ah! And the funny thing is, TJ got in trouble for smashing the toy, and Stevie didn't get punished for punching TJ in the nuts.
So
no, he's just a little kid. He doesn't understand.
So that's
like you don't understand.
And the point of that being that was just one nut shot. To see someone get smacked over and over again is just nuts to me. No pun intended.
Well, this is for the CBT practitioner on a budget. So even if you got no props to use, it's still possible to have a cock and ball torture session. Your dom can lift up your cock and then make you slap your balls hard, or she can do it over and over again until you're grunting with the impact harder and harder until you're almost in tears, TJ.
Yep. That's true.
This episode's like unsettling.
You don't need all the fucking funky implements to dish out pain.
All you need is a good old-fashioned hand.
How about elastic bands, Scotty? What do you feel about those? What do you think is done with these?
I don't want to know.
What do you think happened, Scotty?
I don't want to know.
Yeah, Scotty, what do you think happened?
What do you think, Scotty?
I think they're probably put around your cock and balls in a very painful, tight way.
You're absolutely right.
That is correct, sir.
Lots of tiny little elastic bands wrapped tightly around your shaft is extremely painful. They will make you put more and more on. The friction alone will cause intense pain, but when she makes you pull them out, then let them snap back, you will be doubled over with tears in your eyes.
You know when you're on like a roller coaster and you have that moment of like weightlessness?
Mm-hmm.
The minute you start talking about this, I just felt like that moment of weightlessness has just stayed with me as I think about my balls being destroyed.
Yeah.
You ever been like just kind of sitting around doing a podcast and you have that moment of hardness?
No. Never. No.
How about this though, Scotty?
No, you may not think it's true, Scotty. But this is a cock and ball torture implement. Just the anticipation of having your cock and or balls snapped up in a rat killing trap.
Okay, so you're saying that some dude actually wants to put his
multiple junk. Dudes. This okay, is so not a, and this is not just like one crazy so dude did this once.
Tens
dudes
of thousands,
like this shit.
If not millions of dudes want their nuts or their dick by a mousetrap.
This is one of the most painful around, according to people on the harder end of CBT. She has you clamp the trap around your genitals, and then you got to leave it there. So you may not set off the trap with your dick and balls, but these things
I've definitely seen it done that way.
Have intense pressure. I didn't go looking for it, so I'll take your word for it, TJ. But yeah, even if she just these are supposed to kill a rat. So if your dick is in that, your dick is the rat. Let's just put it that way.
Nice succinct way to explain it. Your dick is the rat or mouse.
Yes. I mean, it's fucked. But this is the level that some people will go to. What about a riding crop? Maybe a little softer than a rat trap, but...
I take it over a fucking rat trap.
Scotty, look over here,
dude.
Look over here, Scotty.
What the fuck,
dude? What?
What the fuck?
What if there's like a GIF one? It's gonna get the cheese. It's gonna get
Dude.
What the fuck?
He's gonna get the cheese.
Is he
dude.
Showing you rat trap dick GIFs over there?
Why are these fucking dudes doing this shit, man? Stop, man. Stop. What's fucking wrong with these fucking guys? Your fucking dick's a mousetrap. What has your life become? I mean, I don't know, dude. I can't say they're objectively wrong to do that, but I just don't get why you would want to.
Trapped in the trap, the other mice, but don't get caught yourself.
The fun is catching.
I mean, would you ever do that, TJ? I mean, I know Paul ain't going to do that shit, but would you ever fucking put your dick in a mousetrap?
My dick's too small to even fit in a mousetrap. Doesn't matter.
Your balls could fit.
Oh, dude, trust me.
What about your balls? It's cock and ball torture.
That's true. Mousetrap? I don't know. No, I don't think so. Probably not. I don't look at the mouse. I'm not I'm not really excited by the prospect of cock and ball torture anyway. Maybe if I had a big dick, I'd be into it. I don't know. But I feel like
sounds like you really got the short end of the stick on that one.
I did.
Oh, it's zinger.
It's true. Anyway.
So what about a riding crop, TJ?
What about it, Paul?
Throw one up there. I pulled one.
Okay, here you go.
I mean, this is probably what you'd imagine. Wailing away on your cock and balls with a riding crop. Have you ever taken a riding crop? I don't think there was one involved with the Wheel of Torture, and I've never
taken
one.
Yeah, I thought you guys did.
There was a crop.
Was there?
It wasn't really. I don't know if it was in this tradition. I think there was.
There was. I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember. There was.
I remember there being
similar.
A cane.
Yeah.
Or like a rod or whatever.
There was an implement like this.
There was an
implement
that is similar in nature to this, if not this.
So much like a wooden spoon, a riding crop will hurt when battered off your balls. More stingy than a deep thud of a spoon, though, a crop will hurt greatly. These whippy little bastards can cause you to sob and make you squeal with hurt. Cool. So I imagine these are pretty not pleasant to have. Well, I guess for some people, super pleasant.
But. Well, Paul, I've seen you wearing that shirt, the wooden spoon survivor. Did you actually ever get hit with the spoon?
Yeah.
You
did?
Yeah.
My mom had a spanking spoon. I used to get it with the belt, too, but I never...
Did you get hit in the front or just on your butt with the spoon?
A butt.
Okay, dude, because I've heard of like, some kids getting hit like the face with the fucking spoon
got hit on the butt or the back of my legs or whatever.
I don't know. We were lucky. Me and TJ never had the fucking go pick a switch moment or whatever in our lives. Our parents were pretty much both opposed to, you know, spankings and shit. So we got off lucky. We would act horrible and not have to fucking face some shit like this.
Fuck consequences, brah.
What about some weights?
Oh.
What do you think you could do with some weights, Scotty? You want to speculate on this one?
I've seen videos. I think they attach a weight to their penis.
So that's exactly what it is. It's about rigging up various levels of weights to a piercing that's through your penis or balls, or just tying them to your cock and balls, strangling them with the weight. There are variations of both that you can find.
People do this also to try to enlarge their penis?
Yeah, actually, yes.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
I don't know if it works.
It does not. There's people who... I don't know from experience. I've
TJ's
done
had
research.
A fucking 5-pound weight dangling
didn't
off
you, didn't
his
you buy ancient Chinese?
Yeah, I do have some ancient
penis
Chinese
enlargement
penis
oil?
Enlargement oil. I'm going to make a video about my penis
your
oil
journey
progress
to a fat giant.
Yeah,
penis.
My journey to a big Chinese dick.
Cool.
But no, there's dudes that actually have. They try to stretch their dicks out by tying weights to them.
Are they often the weights. Same ones? Are they also the same, the sadomasochistic, and they're also trying to get a bigger dick? Is that usually
I don't know.
Either.
I think that's just dudes that are desperate to have a big dick.
I know Bob Flanagan probably did not give a fuck about that angle of it.
They can't
But he was kind of famous for, he would do these kind of stand-up routines. Not really stand-up, but little talks, little spoken word performances that were oftentimes funny. And one of his favorite tricks to do would be to come out in front of an audience with, like, a bathrobe. And then at some point just throw the bathrobe off and reveal that his dick is, like, literally stretched to the max with, like, a 10-pound weight just hanging between his legs. And he'd sit there and do the whole thing with that. So this is a popular one here, maybe for varying reasons. Maybe some people find it hot that their dick is going to stretch out or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, Paul. Maybe.
What about... urethra torture. What about that, Scotty? I pulled this one because I wanted you to try and imagine why that would be urethral torture. Shoving a pin cap down your piss hole. That's actually, according to my sources, a very common way for people to self-experiment with urethra sounding.
For when you're curious. You know, you don't want to know what you want to shove up your urethra, but then you see a pen cap and you go, ah, eureka, I found it.
Urethra, yep. I mean eureka.
Yeah, I found it.
So there are a number of things.
I'm sure for your research, Paul, you decided to try this, right?
I shoved a number of things down my pee hole, and I only stopped when I broke off a spaghetti noodle, and I've been in a lot of pain since.
Oh, yeah, that's spaghetti.
So I don't want to...
That's why you got it. I could have warned you against the spaghetti noodle, Paul.
No, I've never... actually, this is not true. I'll be fucking maybe even too honest with you guys.
Sweet.
There was, in my mom's bathroom when I was a kid, there was a fake plant. Have you seen those fake plants?
Oh,
got a fake
course.
Flower.
Yeah.
Right? And it was a flower that had those... What's that part in the middle? The stamen and the pistil or whatever? Mm. They come out of a flower, the little dick on a flower.
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think it's a
pistil. There's a little part of a flower.
I don't know
pistil,
what the... Yeah.
Whatever it is. It's a middle part of the flower. Right. So it had that shit. And I looked at it one day, and one of the flowers had fallen off of it onto the ground, and I was taking a bath. And I looked at that shit one day, and I was like, dude, I bet that fucking pistol would fit in my pee hole. I bet that flower part. And I put it in there. And I did it a bunch of times, so I must have liked something about it.
Maybe you need to reconnect with your...
But I've never gotten... No, no, that thing was tiny. It was on a flower, you know what I mean? It was not a pin cap.
Yeah.
I could probably put my dick in this pin cap. What the fuck am I talking about? No, urethra torture does not obviously stop at pin caps and your mom's fake plants in your bathroom. You can shove batteries, pin lids, whole pin lids, even a finger down your pee hole if you train yourself. And some guys want it. Also, some dudes shove metal rods all the way down their urethra, specially designed ones that they can come through. They're hollow in the middle.
Why not? Of course.
So if the dude gets too turned on while he's screaming his pee hole.
Well, of course.
I'm sorry to be explicit, but I'm just letting you know what this is about. Man. It's called sounding or urethral sounding. And it is a very popular thing. A very experimental type of thing that turns into people literally reaming their pee holes with like double D batteries.
Oh,
and shit.
Okay.
So now we've looked at some implements, Scotty, and I can tell you're super comfortable and probably hard as a rock.
Yeah, definitely.
Right
yeah.
now.
Scotty's so aroused, dude.
So we know some of the things.
My dick has gone into hiding.
We know some of the things that we can use. What are some of the techniques?
Techniques, Scotty.
Cock and ball torture.
Oh, what? What's going to happen here?
This one is called ball busting. And I couldn't pull a picture of ball busting, but I want you to imagine that there's a naked dude on the ground, on his back, right below her raised foot, just waiting to receive a savage downward kick right in the dick and the balls and slam them against the fucking studio floor there. That is exactly what it sounds like. Ball busting can be kicking, punching, hitting, slapping, using a paddle or a whip or any kind of hitting of the balls meant to cause not only pain of the strike, but, of course, the... There you go. So that's ball busting, Scotty.
Great.
Ball busting. What do you think of ball busting, Scotty?
I never want to participate in that activity.
Yeah, this one does not appeal to me either. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Please
wink,
stop.
Wink,
please
nudge,
stop.
Nudge.
You didn't hear the safe
so
word. Please
right,
stop.
Balls literally busted.
Oh, man. Dude, my balls are in a vice right now. What you talking about?
Have your fucking right balls now? Been worth like a speed bag, TJ?
Oh, yeah.
TJ, reach down and pull a clothespin off of your nuts for us real quick?
Yeah, sure.
TJ wants fucking Ip Man.
I wish it was one on my desk. I could bluff it out.
That would have been
funny. Have you seen Ip Man, dude? You seen that movie?
Ip Man, yeah.
Dude, you know, is that a fucking crazy punch thing? He's going to do that to your nuts, dude.
Ip Man? Oh, fuck that. I don't want anybody punching my balls, man. It hurts.
Ip Man's going to fucking
I grew up with sisters who would, do the dirty deed, kick you in the fucking balls and shit when you were arguing. I've been kicked. I've been punched in the balls a couple of times. It is not good. I know that it's not a fetish of mine. I don't want to be ball busted. But what about...
Some guys do.
How about something a little lighter, Scotty? You might be into this.
Yeah, something a little light.
Ball stretching.
Oh, my God.
Some guys like to have, one nut or their whole ball bag kind of put in a big old petite pair of forceps.
It's like people want medieval torture. It's like, rack his nuts.
And they just have the chick kind of yank on them and stretch those nuts out. Some guys put tons and tons of, little rings around their nuts or elastic bands to stretch them out to an obscene length.
Okay.
Some people just like a chick or a dude to come and pull on their fucking balls, stretch them manually.
Just grab my nuts real hard
and
pull.
One nut in each hand and just lean back. Just pull them. The idea is to make the slave suffer while the dominatrix or dominator, I guess, is pulling his balls until the pain makes him scream or beg. It's often used as part of femdom, I guess.
Femdom.
More popular to see this
female
kind of stuff.
I'm going to stretch your balls.
Oh, God, please.
You've been a dirty boy that needs his balls stretched. Oh, no, not that, mistress, not that. Oh, yeah, that. I'm getting the forceps, you dirty little pig.
Oh, please, no. Oh, yes. Yes, no.
What did you say, slave? Yes.
Oh, no, yes. No.
Oink.
Okay.
I'm so conflicted.
What about electro cock torture?
I'm gonna get the piggy.
Electro cock torture.
How about that, Scotty? Does having your dick and or balls and or both electrocuted appeal to you in any way?
Because the power's on, Scotty. I got power at this house.
I'm going to have to pass on this one as well.
So So the kinky CBT cock and ball game requires a special kind of equipment, so it's more complicated than most of the mentioned cock and ball torture techniques on this list.
This is high. This is the high tech cock and ball.
Like, this is high for the brow, hobbyist dude. Cock and ball torture.
They should come up with like this is something like Apple should come out with, like the eye cock torture.
Yeah, eye tort.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's basically a rig that sometimes combines sounding, but with the additional.
Oh yeah, because if you're gonna get your fucking cock electrocuted, you want it electrocuted on the inside too. Right. You know.
So sometimes with additional electrodes hooked up to the sounding metal bar that's down their pee hole. Right?
Yeah.
So that they get electrocuted as their pee hole is being reamed, or their balls get electrocuted. And there's various levels of this. Some of it is just like little shocks to titillate, and some of it is like just full-blown, like, can you take a car battery to your dick?
What the fuck, dude? This sounds like some Eastern European torture
shit. It literally is. Some of the shit I found looking for this, just so that I would know how far to go in my description of it, was fucking like horrible. These dudes, like, it took them like minutes to recover from the the shock of it. So some dudes do not fuck around with this, but there's obviously with anything, there's various levels of controllable sensation here. But it sounds not great. What about this one, Scotty? What do you think this is about?
Oh no, don't tell me they bite their fucking dicks.
Yes, bite cock biting. And balls too.
Cock biter. You'll be caught up in the cock biter.
Some guys, and I'm one of these dudes. Like a little nibbling during a blowjob. There's nothing wrong with nibble. But we're not talking about a nibble here, Scotty. That's not really cock and ball torture.
Imagine ravenous dogs ripping apart a piece of meat, Scotty.
Well, maybe not that far, but yes, you could go that far. There are people on that end of the spectrum. There are people whose ultimate sexual thrill would be to have a man or woman that they're attracted to dominate them and then bite their penis off in an act of sexual pleasure. Now, not many people go through with it.
Whoa, dude. That's like going the fucking the Raina Bobbitt far with that shit. They're like fucking right. Cutting off the dick or biting off the dick.
I mean, but if you think about it, most people don't go through with it that. And still a lot of people like having their dicks and balls bitten. And the reason for that is kind of like the intention of it. It's like, I could bite your dick off. In another universe, maybe I do bite your dick off. Like the implication of being at the mercy of that is what these guys are after. And so there's varying levels. From like a pretty hard bite to really trying to hurt this dude.
And this is such a dehumanizing picture to put up. It's not even a person's face. It's just their mouth.
It's right. Because like, it's guys and women that do this. And it's not, you know, there's really no, it's just a bite.
It's the fucking bite. It's like those fucking Titans from Attack on Titan, dude. It's the empty fucking smiley little face and then just.
Right. Yeah. And some of the stuff that I found with this was actually harder for me to watch than a lot of the other stuff. Because the guys really respond. There's something visceral about being eaten.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a natural, like, ah! And you can see it in these dudes. Like, because these chicks will bite them so fucking hard that the dudes will check to see if they're bleeding or if they lost a nut. I mean, they want to be bitten that hard. They want to feel like, oh, my God, she bit my fucking cock off. But obviously, they want to be able to do that again.
Within a limit, yeah.
So she doesn't want, they don't want to actually have their dick bitten off. So that's the fine line that you're walking with this. And guys will ride that all the way to the limit. And sometimes beyond it.
Check this out, Skitty.
So let's talk about some tools and implements of the trade since we've talked about...
Look at that! Look at that!
These are specialized cock and ball torture only tools.
Why do that amateur hour shit when you can get some specialized equipment?
This is a 3-in-1 ball stretcher. So your balls are supposed to be slowly but surely stretched. And then once they're long enough, down at the bottom, is there respite for those balls, Scotty?
There
sweet release from the tightness and the pulling of the stretching?
Not at all.
No, there is a bed of spikes. Worse. So when you finally get to the end, there's a bed of spikes to greet your swollen, red, stretched balls.
You're getting pale, dude.
This thing is a sadistic piece of machinery. And
they're impaling my balls.
By the way, you can get one for as low as like $39.95.
Too much for me.
Go to the next.
Well, I was showing it to Taylor earlier. She's like, "Yeah, we got to get one of those for the bedroom."
She ordered one. Yeah, remember she jumped on Amazon.
You might want to talk to her about that.
Yeah,
Scotty.
You might want to call her and tell her
because I think she saw that and she was like, "Yeah, me and Scotty are going to get into that."
I don't think so.
What do you think, Scotty?
What about the ultimate ball crusher, Scotty?
It's the ultimate ball crusher.
No, yeah, I pulled this one because there was a lot of ball crushing
no substitutes.
Implements.
How the fuck? Okay. Okay, so someone's going to put their balls in
I don't
that.
Even understand this
and
one.
You're going to put And then you're going to push down on it? Or
so this one has a little...
How does it work?
It's hard to see. Your balls... This one is meant to be, you know, you lay on your back, and your balls are kind of tucked up into it.
Okay.
And then on the internals of this, and it's hard to see because they've got it screwed down in this picture, there's a plate that as you turn the crank, it gets closer and closer to the bottom of this where your balls are.
Right.
And your balls are, of course, constricted through the small hole, so they can't escape that way. So as this plate gets cranked down, it flattens against your balls, and they squeezes them a little tighter, and then starts to fucking really get uncomfortable. And she'll crank it, or he'll crank it. You know what I mean? And then like a lot, I saw a dude get this done, and he was given an interview afterwards, and it took him a while to recover. And he said he literally thought she'd flattened his balls. He said it felt like his balls were like wafer thin on the cusp of busting open. He was surprised he didn't bust a nut.
Damn.
Like break a nut. He did bust a nut, right? He went ahead and busted a nut anyway, but he thought he might have broken a nut.
Bro, like a nut bust a nut, you know, same shit.
All right, so maybe
same
you don't
old,
like the balls fucked with, Scotty.
Right.
That's
no.
fine. What about yeah. ribbed sounds?
Can, what's that?
So these are like the metal rods that I talked about earlier, but of course varying sizes.
Ribbed ages. For your pleasure, Scotty.
And spiky ribbed. So that every like little quarter inch that goes in is hard, you know what I mean? It's, and when it comes out, that's the big thing with these ribbed sounds. These dudes like to have them in for a long time, and then their dom will come and just like, and you can imagine what that feels like, Scott.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Going in, it's tough. Going out, it's rough. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I mean, I guess people are into anything. I just don't see the fucking appeal to fucking torturing your fucking self. It's like. You're literally going medieval on your fucking cock or having someone else do it. It's like, why would you want to fucking do this? Like, you're literally going to shove a fucking spike down your fucking pee hole.
Yes.
The fuck is wrong with these fucking people,
man?
Well,
you know what, Sky? We're going to kind of go... We're going to take it down a notch. Look at this nice friendly
What?
Guy.
How now, this one, I think
you're
is...
You're putting a lock on your dick?
This one's named Mike's Spikes. And I'm not exactly 100% sure what it's even supposed to do. I think it might be go around your balls or your dick.
No, this goes around your dick.
Okay.
This goes around your dick, and then these spikes are pushed into your dick, basically.
I'm guessing when you get fucking hard, then it's worse, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm sure.
Of course. And she has control. As you can see, she can screw those screws tighter or loosen them.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah. I saw Taylor order one of these, too, by the way.
Fuck, dude.
So you're going to be in the ball stretcher, and you're going to have Mike's spikes.
And you can't even get out.
No, this is meant to be a chastity device.
Yeah, this is like an extreme chastity device.
Yeah, so this is meant to make you so
most
you
of them,
can't get
most of them just
relief.
Make it where you can't get a boner. This one's actually like, no, we're going to fucking jam spikes into your dick, you son of a bitch.
Right, and then, you know, of course, your dom has the key to that lock up there. And only they can let you out of this. So that's part of this kind of slave master.
It's part of the game, Scotty.
So that's about
part
all I
of
put,
the game.
That's about all I pulled on Cock and Ball Torture. I did pull a long poem by Bob Flanagan that I think is cool. It's called Why, and it's all of the reasons, because he got tired of people asking him why he was the way he was, because he was very open and exhibitionistic about the way he presented himself. And so he tried to think of all the reasons, and he made this piece of spoken word that I think is worth listening to all the way through. All
right, so we'll just shut the fuck up and listen then.
Fair enough.
Why? Because it feels good. Because it gives me an erection. Because it makes me cum. Because I'm sick. Because there was so much sickness. Because I say fuck the sickness. Because I like the attention. Because I was alone a lot. Because I was different. Because kids beat me up on the way to school. Because I was humiliated by nuns. Because of Christ and the crucifixion. Because of Porky Pig in bondage, force-fed by some sinister creep in a black cape. Because of stories about children hung by their wrists, burned on the stove, scalded in tubs. Because of Mutiny on the Bounty, because of cowboys and Indians, because of Houdini, because of my cousin Cliff, because of the forts we built and the things we did inside them, because of what's inside me, because of my genes, because of my parents, because of doctors and nurses, because they tied me to the crib so I wouldn't hurt myself, because I had time to think, because I had time to hold my penis, because I had awful stomach aches and holding my penis made it feel better, because I felt like I was going to die, because it makes me feel invincible, because it makes me feel triumphant, because I'm a Catholic, because I still love Lent, and I still love my penis, and in spite of it all, I have no guilt, because my parents said, be what you want to be, and this is what I want to be, because I'm nothing but a big baby, and I want to stay that way, and I want a mommy forever, even a mean one, especially a mean one, because of all the fairy tale witches, and the wicked stepmother, and the stepsisters, and how sexy Cinderella was, smudged with soot, doomed to a life of servitude. Because of Hansel, locked in the witch's cage until he was fat enough to eat. Because of O, and how desperately I wanted to be her. Because of my dreams, because of the games we played, because I've got an active imagination, because my mother bought me Tinker Toys, because hardware stores give me hard-ons, because of hammers, nails, clothespins, wood, padlocks, pulleys, eye bolts, thumbtacks, staple guns, sewing needles, wooden spoons, fishing tackle, chains, metal rulers, rubber tubing, spatulas, rope, twine, C-clamps, S-hooks, razor blades, scissors, tweezers, knives, pushpins, 2x4s, ping pong paddles, alligator clips, duct tape, broomsticks, barbecue skewers, bungee cords, sawhorses, soldering irons, because of tool sheds, because of garages, because of basements, because of dungeons, because of the pit and the pendulum, because of the Tower of London, because of the Inquisition, because of the rack, because of the cross, because of the Adams family playroom, because of Morticia Adams and her black dress with its octopus legs, because of motherhood, because of Amazons, because of the goddess, because of the moon, because it's in my nature, because it's against nature, because it's nasty, because it's fun, because it flies in the face of all that's normal, whatever that is, because I'm not normal, because I used to think that I was part of some vast experiment and that there was this implant in my penis that made me do these things and allowed them, wherever they were, to monitor my activities. Because I had to take my clothes off and lie inside this giant plastic bag so the doctors could collect my sweat. Because once upon a time I had such a high fever, my parents had to strip me naked and wrap me in wet sheets to stop the convulsions. Because my parents loved me even more when I was suffering. Because I was born into a world of suffering. Because surrender is sweet. Because I'm attracted to it. Because I'm addicted to it. Because endorphins in the brain are like a natural kind of heroin. Because I learned to take my medicine. Because I was a big boy for taking it. Because I can take it like a man. Because, as somebody once said, he's got more balls than I do. Because it is an act of courage. Because it does take guts. Because I'm proud of it. Because I can't climb mountains. Because I'm terrible at sports. Because no pain, no gain. Because spare the rod and spoil the child. Because you always hurt the one you love.
So, I thought that was a pretty cool answer to Scotty's, like, why would you do this? Why would you do this? I mean, it doesn't necessarily resonate with everybody, but I think it's a pretty honest assessment of, like,
sure,
why he's into this shit. I mean, he really did try and think of everything he could that he felt contributed to him.
Here's
being
every
the
single
was.
Possible yeah. conceivable right. thing that might have in any was, way contributed.
And really, there's no might
to the
about
way
it.
I am.
It's more that all of this stuff is what it was. Yeah, right. it may not have been all
and
Morticia
probably more
Adams.
Than he thought. It, probably more than he could even imagine or think up. Too.
Of course,
It was definitely interesting to hear from his the experience of his life and you know all these events and how you tie everything. So I mean, because like that's what I was kind of getting at with you, TJ. I'm like, why do you think people do this? I mean, at least hear his answer. Well, it's pretty fascinating.
Right.
Right. Well, I'm sure that, you know, if every person into any facet of BDSM wrote some kind of poem in that same format, you'd hear just
probably
a ton
a lot
of crazy
same.
Different
but,
shit.
But there, mean, you probably hear a lot of the same shit,
you have
too.
To give
yeah,
you
definitely
because
find some commonalities,
most
too.
People don't live that openly about that lifestyle. And he was just like,
he was
right,
he was
right,
more
right.
He was open to the extreme. Yeah. He put it all out in front of people. It was part of yep. his performance art. Part of the artwork that he did was his body being tortured. So
yeah.
that was him. And one of the things that really resonated with me, he mentions it in that poem, but he also says it in the documentary that I talked about, Sick. He says that a lot of people have this misconception, and I did really too until I started looking into this episode, that it's the masochist that is the weak one in the relationship. And it's the sadist that's the strong, domineering presence and the one that's in control of that and doing the damage, and they're the hard person. But he said, really, especially as you get towards the extreme end of sadomasochism, it's definitely the sadist that is the brave person in that relationship. They have to endure all this shit. They have to put their body through hell.
You mean the masochist?
The masochist, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
I get a little...
Yeah.
We've been sado and masochos.
Sado masoco.
But no, like, no, the masochist is definitely the brave person in that relationship. They have to endure all that shit. Their body has to endure it. They have to heal through it.
Plus, everything has to be through the filter of... I mean, like, it's very necessary that the masochist have the power while the sadist has the illusion of the power.
Right.
Because the masochist has to be the one that sets what the limits are, you know?
Right.
If there are any. So yeah, I mean, they
I loved that
there
part,
has to be that.
I love that part of Bob Flanagan's, like, sadomasochism is because one guy told me one time he had more balls than me.
Yeah. The thing that was fascinating that kind of tied it together is He also had, there was like a few feedery things in there too. Like about Porky Pig being tied up and force fed or something. And there was another thing about Hansel from Hansel and Gretel.
Yep.
Being force fed.
There's a lot of like little cannibalism references in modern culture, and they all kind of feed into
especially
different
in fairy
levels.
Tales too.
Oh yeah. Well yeah, like fairy tales, and like if you look at like there's some Disney shit, right?
Yeah.
Some of the what Disney movie is it that I'm thinking of that has like nobody gets eaten, but there's like a real I'm trying to think.
I always thought there was kind of an element of that to fucking the Lion King, honestly, which is cuz like you know, she's trying to, at one point, Nala's trying to eat Pumbaa and shit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it's like, everybody's sentient and talking, yet there's still just like this wanton,
I could eat
like,
you.
You know, it'd be like if there's like, you know, oh, well, those are Chinese people. They eat us sometimes, right. You know. It's like, you know, we don't have to deal with that in our everyday lives.
Right.
At least not most of us. I don't know.
It is kind of, well, yeah, fair enough. But I think it's interesting how we kind of like revert to those things. You see a lot of entertainment. It's like cannibalism is suddenly something that's explored, which in most of my day-to-day life, I don't explore the ideas behind cannibalism or what that would entail. And most people don't even talk about it. Like, you know, I don't think many of us are sitting around going, well, I want to eat somebody.
Well, maybe a couple of us are.
Well, I mean, but you see that. Well, I know TJ is.
TJ right now wants to eat all of us in this room. He's hungry.
Well, I think TJ's more he wants to be eaten.
Yeah, he's just hungry.
Or do you actually want to eat the other people?
I'm going to eat you, Scotty.
Oh, yeah, that's right. TJ wants to be the Christmas ham.
I'm tough, dude.
He wants to be the special honey-baked spiral-cut ham.
Scotty, tougher than a $2 steak.
Tougher than a $20 steak.
No, but it was
not bad.
It was super interesting learning about this shit, and definitely could have done like, a whole episode.
A lot of the stuff, like the cartoon shit especially, like talk about like, oh, shit, imagery that I saw in like childhood cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's definitely elements of that.
In the Looney Tunes, especially.
There's always kind of fucked up shit about, you know, somebody getting... there's just, like, a lot of fucking brutal shit
Bugs,
in there.
Bugs Bunny's life was on the line all the time. It was going to be in her Daffy or whoever.
But not only just eaten, but, like...
Roadrunner.
Think about all the violence just done to those characters. Like,
kidnapped,
if they could have gotten away with CBT in those cartoons, they probably would have. They probably would have had a fucking scene of the fucking Roadrunner... grabbing fucking Wile E. Coyote's dick and smashing a fucking boulder on it or something.
I don't know, dude. I think Fritz Lang might have drawn a few of those.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in his off time.
Maybe.
He might have a few kinky Porky Pigs.
Well, yes, Porky. All right. Well, that's feederism,
and
that is cock and ball torture for your viewing pleasure.
And your... trying pleasure, if you so choose.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah?
We ain't gonna stop you.
Before you go anywhere, if you aren't already coming to our meetup, Friday, September 6th, 2019, at the Howling Wolf in New Orleans, Louisiana.
What the fuck
are you doing with your life? You have two options. You got a $20 option and a $60 option. $60 option is VIP. That means you get to come in like an hour early and chill with us in a smaller group setting.
Free booze.
Wait. Oh, yeah, that's right. Free booze.
For the VIPs, there's
that's
free
true.
Booze.
I mean, how do you turn that down?
Free draft beer. But free well liquor.
Gee, Willikers, Paul, I just turned 18. I surely can't go, right?
No, absolutely. You can go. This is an 18-plus meetup, a highly requested feature that I don't know that we've done many 18-plus. We've done a couple. So if you're under the drinking age, you just got to get your I'm a Young Kid band on your fucking wrist, and you can come right in if you're 18-plus. Come on in. You can watch everybody else get drunk and hang out with a bunch of neckbeards. And, lest we forget... this is the time to become a patron. There's more shit on your plate as a Pessimist Productions patron now than at any time in the history. We are about to breach 5,000 patrons, which means...
But, Paul, I am a serial killer and murder people for a living.
We don't
give
a shit.
Can I still become a patron?
Absolutely. Your fucking money spends just as well as anybody else's.
Wow.
I'm so hungry for content, Paul. Is there lots of content to feast upon?
Well, listen, you could go to the other meager offerings on your plate and on Patreon, or you could come to the fucking buffet, the most fucking content you're going to get from $5 out of any independent creator. And if you want to call me wrong, I challenge you to show me somebody that works harder than these neckbeards to fill your plate with juicy, heaping piles of steaming, cheesy, gravy-covered content week in and week out. In fact, I'll tell you, if we get one complaint from our patrons, it's no more. I can't eat another bite of steaming, delicious content. But you know what? We funnel it down their fucking throats anyway.
No, please, Paul. Not more content.
You eat it, bitch! Come see us in September, September 6th at the Howlin' Wolf. Link down in the description. Become a patron right now. Link down in the description for that, too. Quit living a double life, okay? Come out to your families and friends as a true fucking fan of the best podcast that anyone has ever conceived of, let alone filmed and delivered on a fucking consistent schedule.